Sleep. This is Exposé 247, where we elevate God's word above our collective experiences. We are saying, no matter what we read, what we see, or what we hear, God's word is true.
Right.
So yesterday, we really stopped at this junction of nevertheless, and we explore further and exploring. In our exploration, we find out the missing ingredient. That most of the time, in place of prayer, when we come to place of prayer, we find faith missing. And that was the common question in Luke chapter 18 and Luke verse 8. Where is the faith? Where is your faith? And they were able to see that no matter the situation, how precarious it is, or how we feel, how desperately, because in Luke chapter 8, we felt like they were thinking they are going to die. Say, Master, careth not that we perish. That in spite of that, no matter how serious the situation is, we cannot forget, we cannot set aside faith. So in all situations, our faith must be in place.
Right.
Even in the place of prayer. So today we are going to continue on this knockout series of prayer. We do hope that you are going to listen, you are going to pay attention, and you are going to come with meekness to receive the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul, which is able to bring fruitfulness to you in the place of prayer. Would you want to continue, or you still want to say something about yesterday?
Now, viewers all over the world on this knockout series, we welcome you again. And we believe you've been with us on this journey, if you've been with us in the past. And if you're just joining us today, we welcome you onto this series. Again, as we have always said in the past, let's reiterate that the vision behind the knockout series, as the name signifies, knockout, is we are knocking out all those things that are presenting themselves as truth. But in other words, they're actually knocking out our faith in Christ Jesus and making the cross of Christ of no effect. And that's it. Jesus told the Pharisees that by your traditions, you've made the word of God of no effect. And those are the things that we are knocking out on this series. And we've actually focused on the notion of prayer. Prayer is a hot spot in the body of Christ. And like we said yesterday, nothing reveals the confusion of a Christian as much as the prayer life of such a Christian is. And we've seen how Jesus approaches people in all his ministry, on earth, in regards to prayer. He condemned the Pharisees for how they prayed. He spoke to his disciples in regard to prayer. And Jesus, the disciples asked him to teach them to pray. So we've seen that prayer is such a very critical notion. And there are lots of practices and activities in the place of prayer that tend to make God's word of no effect in our lives. And up to yesterday, what we actually dealt with yesterday was talking about a missing ingredient. What is missing in the place of prayer? And then, if we please, let's make this known, that all we've been doing so far is following the evidence where it leads. You know, in forensic science, they all talk about you following the evidence. We began to look at Luke 18, where Jesus Christ himself was talking about a woman who was crying for vengeance. Avenge me of my adversary. Mm-hmm. And Jesus made a point known towards the end of Luke 18, verse 7, that parable. Jesus said, shall not God answer speedily those that cry to him day and night? So Jesus is simply saying, on God's side, he is poised to answer. But the question he asked is, nevertheless, can you see that when the Son of Man shall come, will he find faith on the earth? So Jesus raises a very important question, and is trying to shift our concern. So if you've been following us on this knockout series on prayer, you would notice that yesterday we began to have a slight shift on our focus. And it's not because we want to do that, but Jesus himself shifted our focus by simply saying, let's talk about what is of serious importance in the place of prayer. It is not about the answering of God. It's about people having the faith to respond to God rightly in the place of prayer. And that's where we stopped in that regard. And then we explore further on when we look at Luke 8, 22 to 25. Now today on this series, we're going to carry on from Luke 8, verse 25, which is the exact verse where we stopped yesterday. Now Luke 8, 25, and he said unto them, that is Jesus, he spoke to the disciples when they told him, Master, don't you care that we perish? And we said yesterday, this sounds very similar to most of the prayer points that we engage in the body of Christ, where we try to convince God, are you not so concerned about our state? Are you not so concerned that the enemy wants to destroy me and my family? Are you not so concerned that I'm being attacked on either side? Are you not so concerned that I don't have food to eat? Are you not so concerned there's no job for me? Are you not so concerned that there are so many things happening around me? And we try to convince God to show us mercy. And the disciples asked Jesus in question, don't we care that we perish? And Jesus answered them. And he said, look at verse 25. This is where we're going to actually carry on today. And he said unto them, where is your faith? Now that's a very good question that he raised to them. And we're going to say about this. If you ask someone, where is their faith? One thing stands for sure. You believe they've got it. You know, I mean, you don't ask someone where is something unless you believe that person has what you're asking them. For example, if I say to you, where's your money? Or if I say to you, where's your friend? Or if I say to you, where is your family? I'm only asking that question because I believe that thing I'm asking you about is actually with you. You have it. I'm only surprised that when I saw you at that time, I'm not seeing that thing with you. That's why I'm asking you that question. So the reason Jesus asked them about where is your faith is he believes that they have it. And let us say this. The old subject of faith has always been a very confusing thing. Most Christians think, well, they've taught about faith. I've heard about faith in the church. I've heard about people teaching about faith. And they've told me that the reason why I don't have answers to my prayer is because I don't have enough faith. And I want to have faith. I'm praying to have faith. Listen to this. Jesus is simply saying that he agreed that the disciples had faith. All he was asking is, in this particular situation, where did your faith run to? How did your faith fly away? What happened to it? Where is it? And that is the notion we are going to deal with today. Something doesn't just add up when it comes to the issue of faith. Something doesn't add up when we talk about faith. The reason we've said this is because a Christian is a Christian because they have faith. May we say that again? You cannot be a Christian unless you have faith. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Now, are you saved? If you answer yes to that question, the Bible says the only way you ever got saved, it must have happened through faith. If you didn't have faith, you can't be saved. So it is impossible for a Christian to say, well, you know what? I think I'm a Christian, but I don't think I have faith. Now, that's impossible. It's a misnomer in the kingdom. It can never happen. If you don't have faith, you're not saved. According to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. So where's the problem? Why is it that in every situation or in some circumstances, we respond like we don't have it? Now, Jesus is asking the question, where is it? I know it was there somewhere. I know you had it. What happened to it? He's asked them in Luke 8, 25, where is your faith? Now, today, we're going to beam the searchlight of the Spirit to find where it is. Because it was there. It was there. You were saved because it was there. Where is it? Now, you see, let's see what the Bible has to say about this faith thing. Now, don't forget, like we said today, we are looking for what doesn't add up. This doesn't add up because they actually had faith. So, what happened to it? Where is it? So we're going to join the Spirit of Grace this morning to look for it. It is somewhere there in your life. Now, let's look at 2 Peter 1:1 before we carry on. You'll say something about that.
Yes, it's very comforting and liberating to know that everybody started with a measure of faith as long as you are saved. You know, some
Ephesians
people even think maybe they don't even have anything. So in the first place, they just thought that they were so empty. There's no place of faith in them. That there was never any time that they had a measure of faith.
No, it's not
but
possible.
Now it's very liberating to know. It's easier to start getting us back to shape when we already know we have that thing, you know.
That's
why I feel like there's liberation today. And it's a relief, a huge relief to know that there is a measure of faith. Now, it's a different thing for us to go and look for it. Where is it?
He said, where is it? That's it. Where did you put it? Where is it hiding?
It's good to start from the knowledge of knowing that we already have it. So we can really go ahead. So I'm looking forward this morning with our audience to go and naturally look out for it.
To beam the searchlight of the Spirit and say, Jesus is saying, I know you had faith, but where is it? Where did you put it? That's the question.
So I hope our viewers will join us in this journey as we use the word of God as a floodlight to look onto all our crevices of our lives and experiences.
Where is it?
Where it may be hidden or something. And what will make the Lord to question, where is this?
Where is it? I you had it. I gave it to you. What happened? Where is
then
it?
Then again, there's something again about that verse when he said, where is your faith? That shows that the Lord could not find it again. So at that point in time, it was not evident. You know, in med school, we talk about evidence-based medicine, and so we use all our procedures and everything based on evidence. So at that point in time, you know, some people might still be hugging that they feel like they have the faith presently with them. So it was like, I can't see it. Where is it? So some people might be in delusion, thinking they have an evidence-based faith, that there is evidence for their faith. But yet, Jesus could not find it with those disciples. So where is it? So we're just going to encourage you to go to follow us on this journey to even look for what would have happened. Where is this faith that was once received, that was once delivered to the saint?
Now, please, if you're watching this, don't forget we are dealing with nevertheless.
Yes. Okay.
Jesus said, when we talk about prayer, we should stop being concerned about how God responds. And I think this is actually bringing a radical redefinition to how we look at the concept of prayer. We said it before that most of the prayer points that are offered today by Christians are prayers trying to convince God, to ask God to show mercy on you. And I think if you ever pray like that, or if that's the focus of your prayer life, you are getting it all wrong. We have come to knock out that wrong mentality. Your prayer life should not be engineered towards convincing God to bless you. Your prayer should rather be focused much more on your response to what God already sorted out. That's why Jesus said, "Shall God not answer speedily those that cry to him day and night? But nevertheless, if he comes, will he find faith? Will he find you responding rightly? Will he find you in the right position and right disposition in the place of prayer?" And again, we've seen this place in Luke 8:25. Jesus said to them, "Where is your faith?" Now, you see, like you said, there are two things that stands out in that verse. Where means is looking for it. And you don't look for something with someone unless you know they have it. And you're just surprised that it's nowhere to be found. But you know they have it. You know they had it. Or they had it before. But where is it at that moment? That's one thing. And the second thing he said is, he says, your faith. Jesus didn't say my faith. Or he didn't say our faith. He should have said, where is faith in this whole thing? Generally, he said, no. You had this thing. It was your property. It was one of your attributes. It was one of the things that belongs to you. So where is it at the moment? And then today, like we said, we're going to look for it. And before we do that, let's quickly look at 2 Peter 1:1 and see what the Spirit of Grace has to say about this. So in Christianity, in the kingdom of God, don't let anybody try to convince you that, oh, no, you need to come up with faith. No, the Bible says that for by grace are you saved through faith. Without faith, you were not even saved in the first place. So if you were saved, you had faith. See what 2 Peter 1:1 has to say to the saints in the kingdom about this issue of faith.
2 Peter 1:1. Simon Peter, a servant, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us.
Oh, now that's really serious. That's really serious. And then some of us have read the book of 2 Peter. I mean, we read it. I mean, we believe it's written not just for the Christians at that time. Is written for Christians now, all over the world at the moment. So the Peter says, if you're reading this today, if you're reading 2 Peter 1:1 with your eyes and with your eyes of your heart, he says, see, I'm talking to those who have what?
Obtained.
Not in the process of obtaining. Not that if they pray long enough, they would obtain. Or if they actually fast long enough, they would obtain. Or if they attain 20 years of ministry. People these days try to pride themselves about years of being in ministry. Say, well, you see, I'm in 35 years in ministry. I've developed faith for such a long time. Or whatever. No, Peter said in this place, I'm talking to those who have obtained. Obtained. This is not in the process. Obtained. Past tense. What? It says, like precious faith with us. Now, that's the mind-boggling part of it. With us?
Same way.
Is Peter saying that the kind of faith that you have is in the same category as the kind of faith that he has? The same Peter whose shadow was raising the dead? No, Peter, come off it. The same Peter, he's not healing the sick, sorry, whose shadow was healing the sick. The same Peter who was at the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, who actually saw Jesus, was at the Mount of Transfiguration. The same Peter who did so many miracles. The same Peter who caused so much revolution in that generation at that time is saying to you and I that the faith you have is the same like. In a like means similar. It's not. He said it's not below. It's not even very close to. He said like precious faith with us. So Peter is saying, I'm putting you, that you are reading 2 Peter, into the same category as myself, as Apostle Peter. Your faith is like our faith. It's like precious faith. Now, that's serious.
Mind-boggling.
That's serious. He said it's the same. He says like precious faith with us. Now, it means we are having the same type of faith. Now, that tells you and I that the problem of Christians then cannot be that we didn't have faith. Now, that's why, again, Jesus said in Luke 8:25, where is it? Where is your faith? He didn't say, oh, you people don't actually have this faith. He said, no, it is your faith. I know you have it, but where is it? In this circumstance, when the wind and the storm was able to capsize the sea, the boat.
We want to thank the Lord for the revelation from Apostle Peter in this 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Thank you for qualifying that faith for us.
He said with us.
It was even qualifying precious faith. Maybe the reason why we don't even take, because we don't even consider it precious, so we could not even keep it and be able to, and that's why it becomes something we are looking for. So if we know that this faith that was shared with the apostles is the same faith and is a very precious one, we might be able to guide it So in the understanding of no, in qualifying our faith, there is not just any of those things. It was not just any addition or embellishment that came to us at redemption. It was something precious. So if you know you have something precious, you know how you guide and keep what is precious. It's not something somebody would not be looking out for and say, where is it? Because if something is precious to you, you really guide it and take it with you. Everybody knows you really want to keep it. You really want to, your eyes is, you know where it is at every point in time. So maybe if we had, if we understand in the revelation that Apostle Peter have in this verse that was saying the precious faith, maybe there won't be any point for looking out for it in the first place, because that would have made us to do everything to guide it. That would make us to make sure that it's always in view, in sight,
amen,
at all times.
Amen.
May we have this understanding.
Amen.
Because it's, if we have the same kind of understanding, we can do like them. Maybe the reason why we are not doing like them, in which we should even do much more than them, is we don't even consider it precious. And so because we don't consider it precious, we could not keep it. So we just drop it, and it's something we are looking out for. Where is it? May the Lord help us in this today.
Amen.
Even listen.
Don't forget that we are following the evidence where it leads. It was Jesus that dragged us into this.
Yes.
We were actually on the subject of prayer. We're even talking about faith.
Yeah,
but you see, Jesus led us, and we are following the evidence where it leads. In Luke 18, Jesus said, well, instead of being concerned about how God answers prayer, Jesus said in Luke 18:7, let's be concerned. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man shall come, shall he find faith on the earth? So we're only following the evidence of prayer where it leads. That's what we're doing at the moment. So again, thank you for that. And the reason why Peter says precious, now that means, does that mean then in Luke 8:25, the reason why Jesus said, where is your faith, is they must have dropped it.
Yeah.
And they must have dropped it because they think, well, in the moment of this wind and this storm, this is not that important now. It's a matter of just crying out to God out of emotion. And you see, I think most Christians don't understand that the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6 that without, it didn't say without emotion, it is impossible to please God. It didn't say without you actually trying to convince God to bless you, it is impossible to please God. No, it said without faith, it is impossible to please God. So it means, it says, all you need is your response. You cannot convince God by prayer. And I think we need to get that straight. Jesus said in Luke 18 verse 7, God will answer speedily.
Yeah.
It is in God's nature. And the Bible says why? Because you are his elect. It says, shall God not avenge his own elect? Luke 18:7. Because you are his elect, because you belong to him, because he purchased you with the price of his blood, you are his responsibility. The Bible says nobody goes to war at his own expense. You are God's responsibility, and he responds to you based on the fact that you are his, you are his elect. But it says, see, that's not a problem. The problem is, shall he find you responding with faith? And that's where Jesus is directing our focus, in the place of prayer. And again, we see in 2 Peter 1:1, it simply says one thing for sure. The faith that you have as a child of God, Peter said, is in the same category as the faith that he has as Apostle Peter.
The other apostles.
The other apostles. He said with us. That's serious. With us.
Like Paul.
Now, it would mean then, the reason why Christians pray like they have no faith, or the reason why Christians say things in the place of prayer that shows that their life is devoid of faith, is not because they have not obtained like precious faith. Follow us. Follow us where the evidence leads. We're going to get there very soon. And we're going to knock out those things that are knocking out our faith. Now, just hold on. We're going to follow the evidence where it leads. Where's the problem? Where is the problem? Where did your faith go in Luke 8:25? Where did it run to? He said, where's your faith? We're going to find out where that faith has run to. Now, follow us quickly again to Romans chapter 12, verse 3. And let's see what the Spirit of Grace has to say again about this faith. And we understand why Jesus told them, where is your faith? Where is it?
Romans 12 verse 3.
Now look at that again. What does it say?
For I say, through the grace given unto me.
Through the grace given unto me. Okay, good.
To every man that is among you.
To every man that is among you.
Not to think of himself.
Now think of it. He said, this is written to, now it didn't say 90% of the men. It is a 99% of the men. He said, every man. Every man. Paul said, everybody listening to what I'm writing. Everybody listening to what I'm saying. This applies to everyone listening. And we can simply say, this refers to the Roman church. Can you see that? Now, go on, please.
That is among you.
Among you. Everyone among you.
Not to think of himself.
Okay.
More highly.
Good.
Than he ought to think.
Okay, go on, please.
But to think soberly.
Okay.
According as God hath dealt to every man.
Now.
The measure of faith.
Again, it's reiterated again. Paul said, for everyone that is listening to this epistle that I'm writing. Everyone. Now, how can Paul be that confident? I mean, that's that, you can probably call that the confidence of the apostle. Paul says, every man that is listening to this, God has dealt to all of you the measure of faith. Not some of you, not 99.9%. Again, making it impossible for somebody to be a Christian without faith. Again, there goes the scripture again. It's practically impossible. So it means then, we have established one fact. To be a child of God, to be a Christian, you must have had faith. It is a definite fact. So where is the problem? Where did your faith go in Luke 8:25? That's the question.
Yes, you cannot say, nobody can exclude him or herself.
I say, maybe it's not me, I'm not. No,
you
it's
cannot
every
say
man.
This is not about you today, because you have received with every man that measure of faith. So you cannot say you are included. So you cannot exclude yourself from what we're discussing.
Every man. Every man. And you see, the reason why you can boldly know that you have that faith, now, don't forget, we're going to look for it, where it is hiding, why you're not even showing it forth in the midst of circumstances, that's a different question. But to start with, he says every man has it. And you see, one thing you have to be sure about, Ephesians 2:8 then tells you, he said it is the gift of God, lest any man should what?
Boast.
It is a gift of God. It was given to everyone, so nobody can boast about it. So we've established one thing for sure, that the reason why Jesus retained the right in Luke 8:25 to ask them, where is your faith, is simply because he has actually taken it for granted that they had it. He actually stated it categorically that they had the faith. It's just that in the midst of the wind, in the midst of the storm, that faith took race. But that something, it ran out or something. It was hiding somewhere and it wasn't actually showing for itself, even though it was there in their lives. And that's what we established. And you see, then to actually clarify then, where is that faith? Let's look for it. Why is it that their prayer point to Jesus was completely devoid of faith, even though they had it? That's the question we seek to answer by the Spirit of Grace in the few moments to come. Now, quickly, before we go on, let's just make the last point, which is Galatians 2:20. You don't need to open it. I will just talk about it. Paul says, he said, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. He said, yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. Mm-hmm. Now, watch what he said. He said, the life I now live in the flesh, I live this life by the faith of the Son of God. Paul is saying, I didn't come up with this faith. I'm not the super apostle of faith because I created the faith or because I spent about 5 or 10 years trying to develop in faith. Paul said, it is the faith of the Son of God. It's the faith of Christ. It's the faith of Jesus. It was only given to me as a gift. Again, we see that coming up to say, well, this is not about super apostle or super spiritual. It's about, it's the faith of the Son of God. I'm only using, people, it's easy to use somebody's credit, isn't it? You can use somebody's line of credit. Paul said, I'm only using the faith of the Son of God. I didn't come up with this. I didn't develop it, this kind of faith. I'm only using the faith of the Son of God. So this again clarifies, this is not what we come up with. It was imparted to us. That's why every Christian can only be saved by faith. So we've established one thing for sure. Don't let anybody deceive you that as a Christian, you need to come up with more faith so that you can receive from God. You have it. But the problem is, it's hiding. It ran away. That's why it says, where is it? Where is your faith? Luke 8:25. Now, you have one to say before we go
on? Yeah, I think you've said it.
Oh, good.
This point.
Now, so then let us look at it then. Where is that faith? Where is it? Where is it hiding? And we're going to look at some scriptures today. We're going to take it really slowly so that we can get the clarity of what the Spirit of the Lord is saying this morning.
I'm just really excited about that word that you brought, talking about faith as the existing line of credit. You know, I think it will, so a business person, it will really excite them to know that how easy it is to go through life motions, knowing that there's an existing line of credit to use, you know, having that knowledge. And that's what makes Paul to be effective. He just make use of what is available.
I live my life by the faith of the Son of God.
So he was just a smart man because he was able to just make use of that existing line of credit. And how pitiful it is for some people living, not even knowing that there's a line of credit in which they can make use of, that they can just avail of that opportunity and use the faith of the Son of God. You know, why would you want to live on your own faith or your own inventions? And why do you want to live on your own report or live on your own account when there's an existing, inexhaustible line of credit, which is the faith? And be the smart person today, like Paul. Use that faith. Use it up. You can't even exhaust it. Use that line of credit that is open for you. Use the faith of the Son of God. Don't try to come up with something yourself and say, let me try. Let me use what I've learned in school or what I've picked up from all these things that the people said it works or not. Why not use the faith? We've seen where that faith led Paul to. So we really know the end of it. So why do you want to experiment with your life? So why can't you just be smart today and just use this existing line of grace, which is the faith of the Son of God? I say, what I just do, like
I live life by the faith. I use it. I use the fruit of the Son.
And it was not mine. It was not my invention. Because today, people have been deceived to feel like this psalm is so peculiar. And some people, even some ministers, make it so different and make it difficult for people. They just feel like it's me. It's just peculiar to me.
No.
It's just by the intervention of the Lord don't lead on me.
Yeah.
And sometimes they even tell you and scare people that maybe it comes only once in a season. It comes once in a generation. You can't have this. And so people are really being blackmailed into thinking that it's only from them. And that's why people are attached.
This comes from lots of years of faithfulness in ministry. That's
why
I came up with this kind of faith due to years of being faithful and serving God faithfully for 25, 30 years. And they rubbish the years in people's face. And Paul said, it's like by the faith. I'm only using the faith of the Son of God. There's a place in the Bible, I think it was in 1 Corinthians, where he says, why are you talking like you have not received it?
Yeah.
He said, if you have received it, why are you doing or behaving like you didn't receive it? He said, there's nothing that you have received that didn't come from the Lord. That's
Let nobody
said.
Intimidate you.
No.
That right. We can see that. Thank God that the Apostle Paul was able to say that, because to bust the bubble for some people thinking that maybe why Paul was so effective and different was maybe that he has some other things. He has some other things apart from the faith of the Son of God.
Using the faith of the Son.
Not the experiences and every other thing. On the faith
enough.
Of the Son of God.
That's...
And that is very instructive for us, so that we'll not be threatened, we'll not be blackmailed, and we'll not be shut down. So people will not use their experiences and what they have to shut our mouths down and say, well, I have this because of this. It's the faith of the Son of God. And if Paul could say that, then it is comforting for you to know and just hang yourself and hang your life and transact business. Go through life. Go through life motions through that faith. Use the same faith to be smart.
So I live. So the life I now live in the flesh. The life I'm living currently. It's not a life of bamba. It's the life I live currently.
And it's not by my inventions.
No, I live it by the faith of the Son of God. So that's it. And that's what we've actually established now. It means every child of God, every Christian. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 1. Galatians 2:20 and also Romans 12:3. All these verses are all saying one thing, that, and Ephesians 2:8 as well. All those four verses are all saying one thing for sure, that if you are a child of God, you have the like precious faith with the apostles. Not something close, the like precious faith. So it would mean then, the reason why there are times that we pray prayers, or there are times that we say things that are devoid of the faith of God, is simply because that faith is hiding.
Yeah.
And that's why Luke 8:25, Jesus did not say, people didn't actually have faith, or you people didn't actually, I need to impart faith to you. All Jesus asked them is, where was that thing I gave you? He said, where is your faith? Luke 8:25, where is it? And the question that you should ask yourself as well this morning is, where's your faith? I mean, why is it that we respond to life and respond to circumstances? It's even bad enough that we do that. We then go to the Father in the place of prayer and then talk to God in the place of prayer, prayers that are completely devoid of faith. And if you are wondering, can prayers be devoid of faith? Well, please, we enjoin you to read Luke 8:22-25, that they prayed to Jesus and they said, don't you care that we perish? And Jesus responded in verse 25, that prayer you prayed to me, Jesus said, you have no faith in it. Because all you are trying to do is to convince me. You are even telling me to, you are trying to prepare me emotionally to respond to your needs. He said, that's devoid of faith. You didn't even respond to the fact of my nature. You didn't respond to the fact of what I already said to you. Let's go over
to the other side.
So prayers can be devoid of faith. That's the reality. As you can see in Luke 8:22-25. So please follow us on our journey as we begin to explore why is it that we have faith, then pray, and ask things from the Father that is devoid of faith. Where did our faith go? That's the question we're asking today. Now, please quickly, let's go to Mark chapter 9 and see what the Spirit of Grace has to say. We are beaming the searchlight on where this faith is hiding.
Yes.
On why we pray faithless prayers. On why there's a nevertheless upon our lives in Luke 18. We're looking at that in Mark chapter 9. And we start quickly from verse 14 and see what the Lord has to say. Now, I'll read that one by one and we go through the story. This is not even a parable. This is not even an illustration. This is an actual event in the ministry of Jesus Christ, as we can see. Mark chapter 9, from verse 14. See what it says. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude above them and the scribes questioning with them. He said, the scribes trying to disgrace Jesus, they were questioning with the disciples. And look at verse 15. And straight away, all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed and running to him, saluted him. Now, may we say this, that the backdrop of this was Jesus was coming from the Mount of Transfiguration. That was the backdrop of this. So it makes sense that when they saw Jesus, they were amazed. There was a glory around him. And look at verse 16. And he asked the scribes, "What are you questioning the disciples for?" Jesus was querying the scribes. And verse 17, "And one of the multitude answered and said, 'Master, I have brought unto thee my son, who has a dumb spirit.'" And then look at verse 18, and wherever he actually takes him, he's talking about the spirit, he tears him, and he foams, and he gnashes his teeth, and he pines away. "And I spoke to your disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." So they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. And he answered the man and said, faithless generation. Now watch that. It's a generation without faith. "How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me." Now, before we go on with this, I want you to take note of the expose of Jesus himself about what this man told him.
The Good News Bible will want me to read. Verse 19 that. Was saying. Yeah. Do you want me from the beginning? Okay. Verse 19 was saying.
Jesus. You can read from verse 17.
"A man in the crowd answered, 'Teacher, mm-hmm. I brought my son to you because he has an evil spirit in him okay. and cannot talk. Mm-hmm. Whenever the spirit attacks him, it throws him to the ground
okay.
and he foams at the mouth,
okay.
grits his teeth
okay.
and becomes stiff all over.
Okay.
I asked your disciples to drive the spirit out, mm-hmm. but they could not." Verse 19, Jesus said to them, "How unbelieving you people are. How yeah. long must I stay with you?"
Now, how long must I stay with you? You see,
long do I have to put up with you?
To put up with you. If you notice in Luke chapter 18, that's a stark contrast. In Luke 18, the woman was the one putting up with the unjust judge. She was the one busy crying to the unjust judge. And if you look at Luke 18 from verse 1 to verse 6, from verse 7, Jesus changed it and said, he said, "Shall not God avenge his own elect who cry to him day and night, even though he bears long with them?" Jesus said, "I'm the one putting up with you now." Now, he's simply saying, Jesus said, "How long will I put up with you?" Telling the disciples. And the question is, what is Jesus talking about putting up with them? Based on what? Don't forget, the Bible said, when the man said, when he brought his son to them, they could not cast out the devil. Now, let's see. The question you want to ask is, okay, maybe this particular devil of his face is a special brand, which is the popular notion. And today we're going to knock out that false ideology that people have in the body of Christ. Now, quickly, I wanted to hold on to that verse. Don't forget, we're going to go into this for a long haul. Mark 9, we're still there. But let's see what actually is in Luke chapter 9, verse 1. Luke 9, verse 1. Now, let's see what it says about this demon casting exercise. Luke 9, verse 1. See what the Lord himself. Now, see what it says. Good. What does it say?
"Then he called his 12 disciples together."
Now, watch that.
"And gave them power and authority
over."
Over all devils.
Now, you sure it's all devils? Maybe it's 99% of devils.
All.
It can't be all devils. I mean, he must have given them power over 99.9. People tell us today that there are some demons and some devils that are very special. I mean, some devils and demons have a PhD. In demonology, and then for them, if you want to cast them out, you need to get an anointed man of God. You can't just cast out every devil like that. Devils have levels. Now, see what it says.
"Over all devils and to cure diseases."
Luke chapter 10, verse 1. Luke chapter 9, verse 1 says, Jesus already gave them power over all all devils. Now, don't forget, Mark 9 says they could not cast that one out.
Good news, I said, to drive out all demons.
To drive out all. Now, please, I want that word "all" to be accentuated.
Yeah.
I want that word "all" to become prominent in your understanding as we are talking. That Jesus left nothing that wasn't covered in terms of the demons they can cast out. There were no exceptions. As you might have people say that Jesus is saying here, because as you see in Mark 9, there are lots of things so meaty. But Jesus is saying in Luke 9:1, the Bible says Jesus gave them power to cast out all devils. Now, stand that particular Luke 9:1 in contrast to Mark 9 that says they could not cast out that devil in that child. So it means the reason they couldn't cast out that devil in that child wasn't because they didn't have the power to cast out all devils. Now, this is not that complicated to understand if you think about it. So let's then put it this way. The reason they couldn't cast out the devil in Mark 9, verse 14 to verse 29, is not because they didn't have power over a devil, because Luke 9 verse 1 says they were given power over all devils. So it means it's not because God didn't do his part. It was because there was something about their response. There was something about their response. It wasn't because they didn't have what it takes. It's because of their response. You want to say something?
Yes, I just hope our viewers are going to take a long pause at this point and to consider this, you know, and then let the reality of Luke chapter 9 verse 1 done and be stamped permanently on our memory that this thing is over all the devils.
All. That's the word.
You know,
all devils.
David starts in the place of prayer not knowing that you have the authority, you have been given the authority over all. So there's no situation, no sickness that is excluded from this.
If somebody tells you something, that you need a level of spirituality before you can deal with some situations, what they have done is they've taken the benefit of the redemption of Christ, they've taken it from under your feet. They have actually made your faith of no effect by the tradition of what they are saying. And if anybody ever says that to you. Now, the fact is, the Bible says when Christ gave them power, now you're wondering, well, this is the gospel. Well, we're going to take this to the new covenant very soon. It said when Christ gave them power, he left no devil as an exception.
Yeah.
There is nothing like somebody saying, you know what, it takes the general overseer or the great anointed man of God to deal with some certain situations. Bible said he gave them power over all devils. Now, don't forget, even though he gave them power over all devils, but when a particular devil showed up in Mark 9, they couldn't cast it out. Can you see that? But the reason cannot be that because he didn't give them all power over all devils.
If you remember my opening statement today, this morning, I was saying that Exposition 247 is about elevating the word of God above our experiences. So and now we just have to stay true to the word of God. And we don't want to be intimidated by how long the problem has been, because some are actually intimidated that this problem has been like seventh generation.
I don't see that very
time,
soon,
the time. So they're about the time or how serious or the symptoms or something we've not known of this, they've not discovered this or something like that. So we just have those intimidating statistics and facts and figures about. And so it makes us to feel like they're actually excluded, they're exempted from this. You see that the authority that came on us, what came on us was over all devils. So if we can get our head wrap around this truth in Luke chapter 9, if we can get our head wrap around this, so we become victorious in the place of prayer, knowing fully well and being settled with the fact that everything is covered, every situation is covered, that every circumstance, no matter the length, no matter the facts about it, around it, and the reality of the scripture in Luke chapter 9 says all has been covered, so none is exempted.
Nothing.
All devils. To drive out all devils and cure diseases.
Well, if he says nothing is left as an exception, then it becomes a bit more worrying that why was it then in Mark 9 that when a particular demon showed up, the man told Jesus that the disciples couldn't. Can you
so
see
we
that?
Need to really explore this.
It's time for exploration. I mean, again, that goes to Luke 8:25. We were asking the question, where's your faith? Where was the thing I gave you? Jesus said you had this thing in you. What happened? Where is it? And that's the question that we're asking today. And we're trying to beam the satellite of the Spirit to find out where it is. Where was the power he gave them in Luke 9 that was over all devils? Where's that power? Where did it run to?
And what happened in Mark 9?
What happened in Mark 9? How come they couldn't cast out a particular demon? Now, again, before we actually go back to Mark 9, let's look at Matthew 10:1 again. Because we need to establish this fact. Don't forget, we're looking for that thing. Where is it? That's what we're looking for this morning. Look at Matthew 10:1. What does it say then, please?
Okay. Matthew 10,
yeah.
Verse 14. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples,
okay,
he gave them power,
okay,
against unclean spirits,
okay,
to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease.
Now, how many halls do you need to speak before it sinks down to the spirit of Christians? Jesus, how can the Bible repeat all twice? How can you put all in the same verse, Matthew 10:1? Well, I think he has to repeat it twice. You see, the Jews have a tendency of using double statements just to drive home a point. That's why Jesus will say, verily, verily, I say unto you. It's not tautology in their culture. It means they're saying, what I'm saying is the reality. And they say it twice. And they say again, in Matthew 10:1, it says, all this, in the same verse. It's saying, well, nothing is left without being covered. So, now, let's say this. Why was it then that when you are praying, things are not happening? How come when you are casting out a devil, or you are trying to stand against a disease, things are not moving? Well, please, let's exonerate God. Let's take God out of the equation. The curse on his path, it says, all were given. I mean, all power over all devils. It left no devil that was not covered. And again, Matthew 10:1 is saying, it left no disease that wasn't covered. I mean, even the one
that not discovered.
He said, don't let anybody tell you that as a Christian, you then need to go and do 21 days dry prayer and fasting so that you can attain a level of authority to deal with a particular disease. No, Jesus said, no, I gave you power over all diseases. Don't forget, please stick with us. Be patient with us. We will then figure out the reason. How come things are not happening? How come in Mark 9 they couldn't cast out the devil? How come in Luke 8:25 Jesus said, where is your faith? We're going to look for it this morning. But the reason could not be because God didn't give it all. That's what we're saying. The reason cannot be that he didn't give power over all devils. Now, that's Luke 9:1. Now, Matthew 10:1 brings his own dimension and says, over all diseases and over all sickness. All manners. Now, all manner means all categories. You see, in medicine.
All varieties.
In medicine, and those that deal with disease pathology or whatever it is.
Yes.
They classify diseases. I mean, you have virus, bacterial, you know. I mean, they put them into classification.
We even have classes, the unknown etiologies, we don't know. Idiopathic, we don't even find the reasons for them.
Jesus said all manners, all different classifications. This is relevant. Now, see, this is really, really, for somebody, if you have a lot of spiritual sense, this should make you a bit uneasy. It would mean that you didn't wonder. Also, so why is it things have not been moving then? If that's the case, why is it? Now, he's saying, the reason they're not moving cannot be because you didn't have power over all. You see, the reason why we have to knock out this wrong mentality this morning, some people think, well, the reason I couldn't deal with that particular disease, or the reason why I couldn't cast out that particular demon, I understand. I need God has not given me yet that level of authority. I need about 25 years in ministry, or I need to go to a man who has been anointed of God to release power for such type of situation. Now, well, if you think that's a wrong mentality that is killing your prayer life. In reality, Jesus said he gave you power over all diseases, all sicknesses, that's all manner in Mark 10:1, and in Luke 9:1 it says over all demons and devils, and that's what it said. Now the last, after the matter of two or three witnesses, we have to establish every matter. Don't forget, we're going back to Mark 9, but we are only investigating that what this father said about the disciples, the father who brought his son, when he simply said the disciples could not cast him out, that was a red flag. That was a big red flag, and we are pointing at that red flag in that Mark 9 by looking at all these other verses. Now, again, the last one is Luke 10. That let's be the last testimony to what we are talking about. We've looked at Luke 9:1. We've looked at Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. Let Luke 10:17-19 be the third witness to the point we're trying to establish. Luke 10:17-19.
And the 70 return again with joy.
The 70, okay.
Return with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name.
Okay, the devils are subject to us on our passport and our credibility.
No.
He said, well, we will just use your name. And he said, if you've been with us in some of the past episodes, I think one of these days, we have to do a full knockout series on praying in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. They said, we didn't, it wasn't because we were perfect. It isn't because we've been long on this ministry. It's not because we've actually gained credibility with God. He said, we only use your name, your line of credit. We just use your authority. Like Paul said, using the faith of the Son of God. We only use your name. When we spoke to the demon, we presented ourselves like it was you talking to them. We only use your name. We use your authority. You see, there's something in legal parlance, they call it the power of Anthony. If you have the power of Anthony on the behalf of someone, you can address things and do business in their name. I see they were the one doing it. So they are saying here, we use the faith of the Son of God. We just did it in your name. Now what's the next thing then?
And he said unto them,
yeah,
I beheld.
Yeah, go on, please.
Satan has slicing fall from heaven.
Well, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall down, that their grandfather fell down from heaven. The grandfather
Verse
of the
19.
Devil. Verse 19, watch
Behold,
this. Behold,
I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all.
Now, again, we come across the word all again. Now, this is the third witness of this all thing. He said, I didn't give you power over 99% of them. I give you power over all of them. So now,
All the power of the enemy.
Over all the powers of the enemy. Now,
and nothing shall by enemies hurt you.
So, do you then want to say to me that you need some greater level of anointing and unction from someone to overcome some certain special type of situations in your life? Now, if you do that, you are making the word of God of no effect by your tradition in the place of prayer. In summary, these three witnesses have actually shown us then that there's a big red flag in Mark 9 if they couldn't cast out that devil. It wasn't because that they were not given all they needed for life and godliness.
Yes, if I may add this, we can see from all the three witnesses that we have all situations of life covered. We have all possibilities and probabilities covered in all these witnesses, because in part we're seeing over all the devils.
Luke 9:1.
So we see in Matthew, they was talking about over all manners of sicknesses, talk over all the devils. So if the ones that any problem or situation that is covered by demonic activities, we have that covered, then we have the one for all manner of sicknesses or diseases. Some, that is where their own problem is. And then we see this, it was talking over all the powers of the enemy. So the one that's beyond the sickness, the one that is beyond the devil's, whatever form the enemy might come in affliction, whatever the enemy might come and present, whatever they are even thinking of that has never even come into existence, over whatever they can manufacture, over the power of the enemy, whichever way, the power that they were going to use, any power of the enemy. So it covers all. I don't see any situation in life that is not covered by this. Is it power of the devils? Is it the manners of sicknesses? Is it power of the enemy? Whichever way, that is even beyond sicknesses. And so we have all of this covered. So nobody has an excuse, really, from these three witnesses, unless this word is not true. But if we regard this word as true, then we know that there is none that is not covered. There is none that is not covered. Really, really, it is very interesting. And it, and I just hope that our people will live today with understanding this all thing. It must ring true to us every time. All things must be stamped in our spirit, stamped in our memory. I know that everything is covered. We must rise up today with the confidence that all are covered. And we have this power of Anthony. We have been given this.
Is that your name?
If we go with this established truth, that all is covered, we will see the difference, the result in the place of prayer. But all along, people have been living over years and centuries in which some you take some years to attain some, and some they feel like, was able to do this and do this and do this, that's when I was able to attain this level.
So you need another
40 years to be able to get to some certain kind of result and be able to cast out some other levels.
Or eat some diseases at
or some
level.
Some even intimidated by saying they are specialists in some kind of thing. So you feel like, you are not being equipped for this kind of challenge or so. No, you have been given everything. You have been equipped with everything to face all kinds of, even what they have not even thought of, and nobody has come to you. You have been equipped. As you see in the book, in the Luke 9, Luke 10, Matthew 10, you just really need to put your head and just cover your head on this, on these verses. And you see until it sinks in. Until it sinks in and it's got to be drawn into your consciousness that all has been covered. All probability, all situations, wherever you can find yourself in, has been covered by these witnesses. And we thank God for this, that all has been covered. Imagine how it would be if some are just only covered.
You have to do some level of exercise to attain some spirituality to deal with some situations. This is all.
What a huge relief. And all has been covered. Thank you, Lord, for covering all. And He's not leaving us to the mercy of the machineries. You know, because if all has not been covered, then we really are in trouble. We have to get professionals, and we are at their mercy, and that is where they can make you do anything and do anything to you. But we just thank the Lord because He has not left us with those specialists. And so if today, after all that the Lord has done, all He has done, and all He has left you, and then you are still going and being puppet in the hands and be at the mercy of those, then that's the disgrace.
That's why you ask them, where is your faith?
Where is it?
What happened to what I gave you? And that's why I was asking the question, what happened to it? If I gave it to you, what happened? That's why Luke 8:25 was a big question mark. What happened to what I gave you? You had it. What happened to it? Why are you living life? Why are you praying and talking like you don't even have it? And as before we carry on today, you see, there is something that is actually very of important notion in this regard, in all what Jesus was saying. Have you noticed? We've not even fully dwelt on the epistles when it comes to the issue of prayer. We're not there yet. Because even the whole body of prayer, the whole if our deep revelations of prayer are what you will find in the epistles. We're not there yet. So does it not mean then, if in the Gospels, when Jesus had not even shed His blood, in the Gospels, we had not even gone to the cross, in the Gospel, where He has not actually given us the full benefit of what He actually brought from the Father, if this could be what they could enjoy, how much more for those of us who are looking backward to the price that Christ paid for. He had not even shed His blood at this point. They were actually living on delegated authority. Christ was not even in them. That's why Jesus Christ told them, He said, unless I go to the Father, He said, the Comforter will not come. And He told them they will have a better deal if the Comforter comes. And He said, it's for your good that I go. Can you see? He had not even gone at this time. And this could be what they could enjoy at that time. How much more we that we are benefiting from the Father, He had gone to the Father. And give us a better lot, a better premises. Now, again, we say if this is what they could enjoy under this system of the Gospels, it was a transition period to the new covenant. Mm-hmm. How much more we that we are actually under the new covenant. If we live below this, it's a shame on redemption that Christ paid for us. It's a shame. We are putting a shame on what Christ actually died for. Mm-hmm. And that's the reality.
You delegate your authority could be this.
They've not even enjoyed the benefit mm-hmm. of redemption yet.
Mm-hmm.
They were just in a transition period. That's it.
If delegated authority could even have all this covered.
That's
you
know, it.
If then, even before Christ's ascension, mm-hmm. and they were even working in it.
That's
because
it.
Because they came back to him.
Mm-hmm.
They were rejoicing that all devils were subject to them. Even the devils, even dead.
Mm, that's
they
it.
Came back. They were able to put that thing into practice. They mm-hmm. said, we just went through your name,
mm-hmm.
and we found out that they were mm-hmm. subject to us.
Mm.
They were subject to us. They use, and from now they are living. They are not leaving us in any doubt about something. How they use it,
mm.
so they were not saying, "Oh, because we pray, we fasted, and some other things, and we do some extra
no,
other things."
It's like
and
in your name,
and they were not saying because mm. oh, we were able to do this because we stay with you so long, and so we have. Because some people take pride in our oh, they have been some fathers of faith, and because of their years,
yeah.
and they have been the one watering and everything. So the mantle came on them specially. So they were not trying to tell Jesus that because we had this mantle on us, because we stayed the saints, because we have been with Jesus, and so it said through your name. And you know, there's some particular place when they said they saw some other people
mm.
that they were doing the same thing like them.
Mm.
They were even so jealous, they want to stop them.
I was about to talk about that. It was good that you made reference to
so
that.
So to tell you that it's not like they were saying...
You can't monopolize. You cannot monopolize God's grace.
Mm.
You can't monopolize it and say, well, you're wondering and you're becoming bitter that people are doing something somewhere that you thought you had a monopoly over. Because that's why they said that Jesus, some people are actually casting out devils. And Jesus said, leave them alone. If they are with me, they can't be against me. If anybody's with me, they can't be against me. And you see, that's the point. Because it's about using the name of Jesus on
so
the credibility.
They make it just like commonplace, so easy, you know, just using this name. So that's why we are demystifying how they feel. I feel like we need to do something else.
We apart cast out the devil in your name. If the devil will listen to Jesus, if Jesus was the one speaking to me, then it has to listen to you if you come in the name under the power of Anthony of Jesus. That's
so those that the other apostles they saw that they were casting out the devils through the name of Jesus.
Yeah, that's it.
It's so it is so common. So it's not about the disciples. That's what it established. That it was not even about
no,
them.
No, because they were staying with Jesus in the all
even
the time.
They themselves they were not able to say that because we are just staying with you all the thing.
They
were not
name.
Saying because we're just the saints.
Mm.
We're not saying because of the respect that people are seeing us with you. So they really the demons were able to say, oh, these ones are special. They stay more with Jesus. They are the 12 disciples. And so some people will tell you that in some particular ministry or setting, you cannot come until you are the part of the apostle, the setting. So they are really barring people from it.
Mm.
But we find out that the apostle said through his name and they see people. So they make this miracle thing was a commonplace. They see other people that were not even part of them.
Mm.
That put them on edge, and they were so jealous that, and it was so surprising for them. So people can use this just like that. They can use that name and get it done and get results.
You see, as you were talking, I believe this. The Lord actually ministered something to me.
Mm.
There is somebody looking at this, and I think the person has a question in their mind, and the person is thinking, "What about the seven sons of Sceva? I mean, what about?"
Yeah.
And I think that's a question in somebody's mind. That's why God ministered it to me to answer that person. Now listen. The fact is, when the demons actually spoke out of that man and they said, Jesus, we know, Paul, we know, who are you? And then people then run off with that kind of revelation and said, that means that, you see, the servants of Sceva have not actually attained a level of spirituality where they can speak to those demons. Well, that cannot be far, that cannot be as far from the truth as can be. If the reality of that particular verse is when they ask them, who are you? They say, sorry, we are in Christ. If you say you know Jesus, then you should know us because we have come in his name.
Mm.
Now, I've never seen a situation where somebody gives the power of Anthony, even in politics or in every sphere of the world, if a particular dignitary in the government is meant to speak at an occasion and the person cannot speak at that occasion and they decide to give the power of Anthony or delegate to somebody, even the person is the lowest member of staff. If that person shows up at that occasion, if there's any authority or respect that has to be accorded, the person who is a dignitary person, they have to accord the same level of respect and acceptance to this person because this person has come in the name of the person that sent him or her. That's why they will never say, well, the governor, we know the governor, but who are you? They cannot say that because you have come in the name of the governor. You have come in the name of the president. You have come in the name of the person who is a dignitary. So the reason, obviously, why the demons told the sons of Sceva, we don't know you, is because they have come in their own name. That's the problem. They have come in their name. If the demon says, we know Jesus, they should say, well, if you know Jesus, you should know us because we have come in his name. And that's the whole point of
it. So we can conveniently conclude on this on the seven sons of Sceva that they don't even know they are in Christ.
They didn't know.
So if you don't know that you are in Christ, you cannot say that you come in his name. So they don't have that confidence. So that is what we're saying, that for people that are in Christ,
yeah,
that's why. Mm. As long as you are in Christ, mm. and you have the confidence to know that you have come in his name, you understand how this delegated authority works, that the power of Anthony works, that you have the same right, because some people might even come, who have the right and the power of attorney, does not even know how it works, so they cannot exert it.
In fact, in some cases, they give people what? Staff of authority. They,
yes,
like kings. Most, in most cases, when you go to speak on behalf of a king, they tend to give the staff of the king. You take it along to where you're going to. So it means they are saying, that's the king who has come. Even though it's not the king in person, but it says, that's the authority of the king. Whoever carries that thing must be respected and given the same level of acceptance they will give the king.
So we really need to write it up for those who think this seven son of Sceva.
Yeah, that's
so if
it.
Some people were going, even imagine somebody was being sent and with the staff, he's hiding the staff.
That's
so
it.
Definitely, he will not be able to command the respect and the authority with it. So he does not understand. Who was just so confused about it, and some they were not even sent. You know, imagine somebody going to represent when was not sent. It does not even have that delegated authority, invested authority on him. So we just, as long as you are sent, and you know that you are sent when you have this in at redemption.
Ephesians 2:8 says, "If you were saved,
you have this.
You have the faith already." Now that's Ephesians 2:8.
So you know if that one is true for you, that you're already saved and you have the faith.
You have the faith of the Son of God.
These other verses must be true for you also.
They have
if
to
that
be.
Is true, then these other verses.
Christ in you, the hope of glory.
In Matthew 10, Luke 9, they are just truth with you. You have all that power. So you really need to say to. So why you have to say I'm not son of Sceva? Because I am sent. I'm redeemed,
and you have the right to use his name. That's it.
You have the right to use the name. And again, if you have the right to use them, you must understand how it works, that you have this right and these things, everything, you must command that respect. The demons must respond, because not for you but because of
his
that name, in that invested authority. You are coming with that staff of office. So if you really understand how it works, then your case will not be like the sons of Sceva.
I
just hope we'll be able to answer that part.
That's
confusing
it.
Part of people, and people will be thinking, unless you are son of Sceva, so then if you are not son of Sceva, then it is not your problem.
May we say this? See, demons, it doesn't matter. It could be demons, could be life situation, could be life circumstances. Everything is going to ask you a question. Mm-hmm. And if you notice, when Jesus went to the fig tree, when he spoke to the fig tree, Jesus, the Bible said, Jesus answered and said to the fig tree. And you only answer something if that thing is asking you a question. So it's not about demons asking sons of Sceva. Situations of life will ask you a question and says, well, Jesus we know, but who are you? But you've got to answer them back. And again, if you think about it, Jesus gave a parable and said, if you have somebody that accuses you and is taking you to the judge, he says, settle your case with them as quick as possible before you get to the judge. Jesus Christ said that. It means then, when anybody is trying to query you and ask you a question, that on what right do I have to leave? The demons, tell the demon, if you respect Jesus, then you should be respecting me because I've come in the name of Jesus.
So
and
I
that's
just
it.
Want to say, if you are not sons of Sceva, you know that you are son of God,
yeah.
And you have that redemption right and you have the authority, then this shouldn't be your problem. It's like we will not be able to continue on this, but Mark chapter 9 today. Really,
yeah,
it's
fine.
A bad thing that we're not going to continue in Mark chapter 9. But the good thing is, next week, Saturday, 7 p.m. and UK time, and Sunday, the next weekend, 10 a.m. or 9 a.m. UK time, which is 9 a.m. Nigeria time, or I don't know which other time zones that you're in. We are going to continue this, and I'm very sure you'll be eager to know what's
up. But before we round up, let me just round off. As we round off, let me just say this critically. If you notice that when Goliath was about to destroy the Israelites in the battle, with the people of Israel, there's one thing he said. Even though David said the army was the army of the host of the Lord, Goliath kept on saying that you are all servant to Saul.
So,
and the whole point is, he was trying to make them think like sons of Sceva. Say, well, he was trying to put the identity under Saul, who was a fallen king. But David said, no, this is the army of the Lord of hosts. So this was a battle about identity. So if you are not a son of Sceva, don't be talking like that. You are the son of God. So that's one thing for sure. Now, please, which is going to be what we're going to kick off from next next episode. The question you are asking is, how come they could not cast out that devil then in Mark 9? And the question is, where is their faith? That's the question who will be seeking to answer from next episode.
And I can conveniently say our updates will find that answer in next episode. So stay with us. Next episode, we want to see you joining us 7 p.m. UK time on Saturday and 9 a.m. UK time on Sunday as we continue on this. And I feel you really want to find that. So keep living the truth and sharing this. Share it among your contacts. Be the social media evangelist. Till we see you again, yeah? Where is your faith?
Where is it? Where was the power I gave you? That's what Christ is asking.
Okay, bye. Have a wonderful day.